Yeah, film vault. Oh, look at you. You're in a good mood. You're laughing, smiling.
In a good mood, really?
That's Anderson. I'm Brian Bishop. We're your hosts.
Oh, Jesus.
You look tired, buddy.
Yeah, you think?
You got a movie to make?
Hey, listen. Tonight's going to be an interesting show.
What's that?
Tonight's show, today's show,
you're hearing at the moment.
This film vault episode, it could be great, it could be terrible. Okay. I don't know. I'm going to lean on you.
Are you punchy? Oh, that's bad. That's bad news already.
Is it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
You're relying on me to carry this?
Hey, have I ever taken a mulligan on this show?
No.
Have I ever?
No, you never
I never have,
you never
right?
needed to.
Listen to me.
You bring it every time.
I'm leaning. And of all the episodes that we've ever done, I think the bathroom episodes is probably the best one for me to kind of, you know, take a mulligan because
really?
I'm not a big scat guy. I don't
but
like
you
the scat.
You suggested the top five episodes, top five bathroom scenes. You suggested the topic.
I know. It came up with a couple friends of mine from camp, and we were discussing it on the way up the mountain, my way to a wedding a few weeks ago, and I'm like, you know, not bad.
You gotta tell you this.
We did top five church scenes. Why not bathroom scenes? You know what I mean?
I think it's a great topic. There's a lot of. I'll stay away from the scat this episode. I'm not particularly interested in poop and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and bodily functions.
You're not?
But let me tell you something.
Considering who you suckle,
fertile topic.
Not bad. A lot.
There's a lot going on. A lot of possibilities.
I was actually
number of also rans.
I was thinking about actually breaking it into categories.
As was I.
I was thinking like comedy, dread, thriller, and horror.
It's interesting.
Horror. I could have come up with like five just horror, right?
Wow. I was considering pitching to you that we break it up into shower scenes, toilet scenes, bathtub
different
scenes.
Different sections
different
of the bathroom.
Different parts of the bathroom.
I see.
It's interesting. Both of us were like, this is a very fertile topic.
I'm very happy with my top five. I think it's a good top five. I only go to the scat area once. And speaking of church scenes, that's kind of what made me think of it. Like, if we could do church scenes, we could do bathroom scenes. And If I was the kind of person that prayed, I'd be praying for a good show.
To the porcelain god?
I don't
porcelain
pray,
throne,
though.
Is that what they say?
No, praying to the porcelain. When people puke when they've been up all night or drinking
toilet.
Too much. No, I'm just saying that if I did pray, I'd be praying, please, God, make this film vault an okay film vault. Because I'm in a rough place right now. Okay, here's what I'm going to tell you right now.
We'd be more or less checked out than when the first episode we ever did where you drank beer and pretended I wasn't there.
I'm right around the same spot.
Okay.
Right around there.
You're drinking beer.
I'm drinking beer and coffee.
Right? Oh boy!
Yeah,
you are mixing and
listen,
mashing.
I know myself. I know my chemistry. Like when I'm on this limited amount of sleep, this is the best thing for me to do because I still got things to do. I got another show to do.
I got
two more shows tonight. Actually, I got a lot going on. Anyway,
interesting episode of the After Zazzer.
Last plug ever. Okay.
Yeah, the big night's upon
the big
us.
Night, cold cockle night. If you're listening to this day of and you're like on the fence, I got the projector thing sorted out. It looks good enough to pass and. I was going to say sold out because I'm happy with the number of tickets sold right now.
It's going to be comfortable.
I hit my goal.
Nice.
However, the guy that runs the place, he's like, well, that's not really cool if you like take down the tickets. I kind of like walk-ups. It's more business for me. So
the human nature is telling people wait till the last minute.
If you want to do walk-ups, a limited amount available at the door for $20.
I would say don't count on it. I say buy them today, the day you hear this.
That's what I say. Friday. Yeah. But I wanted to cut it off. I wanted to say sold out. Anyways, the guy that runs the place, he's like, please.
And yeah, it's good for business.
He's been so good to me, so I'm going to meet him halfway. So a limited amount will be available at the door for $20 a pop. But the films look good. They look good up there.
So what's your projector solution? Remember, you're up and down last episode on
adjustments
what the hell
were
to
made
do.
At both ends. I'm sticking with the projector in-house.
Ooh.
Because it's mounted. It's a bitch. It's a pain in the ass. Anyways. So
you did not need to bring in a projector?
No.
Nice.
But when I'm plugging this shit though and thinking about it and talking about it, I'm just thinking of all the people that live outside of LA who don't care. It doesn't matter to them, and it's just boring shit. So I'm trying not to waste time on the show anymore. It's over.
It's like they told me when I was in my, I don't know, middle school play or fifth grade play or something. Like, if you mess up the lyrics to a song or a line to the play or whatever it
Watermelon.
Is, they're like, well, but you're the only one that's going to know. No one knows what your lines are.
Yeah, all the problems that
so
I
no
have
one
with
knows,
these movies.
The only one that's going to notice if something's not perfect is you.
Well, no, they'll see the line on
the
screen.
I'm trying to make you feel better.
No, it's acceptable. I saw it last night, and it's definitely acceptable. But that being said, last night was a long fucking night because I had tons of shit. I'm constantly, you know, going to sleep at 6 a.m.
Tinkering.
Last night, 7:30 a.m., woke up.
It's not really a night.
Looked at my clock, had the coffee pot already, like, you know, pouring coffee for me. Like, I set it the night before. I was prepared. I was going to see a movie to make it so that I had three movies to talk
Look
about.
At you. You haven't lost your commitment to the show. But you didn't see it.
And I was really tired. And it was like, I'm like 4 hours of sleep. And, you know, I was going to go see it mm-hmm. for the sake of the show. Mm-hmm. But you know how I don't like to see movies when I'm drinking or doing drugs and whatnot?
Being super tired is altered.
Felt like it. So I made an executive decision. I'm like, I don't want to see Sicario. Sicario.
You know what? I didn't see it either. So we'll push off.
I wanted to see it though. It's limited release. Next week for sure I will see it. But I had huge plans to see it and play Fesset tonight.
Are you planning?
God damn it. I feel like such a loser. I feel like I'm letting the listeners down.
Isn't that your top five list most anticipated?
Yeah, I'm so excited. But that's another reason why I didn't want to go see it when I was so. I could not keep my.
You're forgiven.
4 hours of sleep.
We understand.
All right. But I got a solid top five bathroom scenes. And let's just get this going. All right. If you want to do walk-ups, Busby's East, I promise I do. Oh, and then I also have that other thing to plug. God, I'm bad at plugging. I'm moderating this thing for my buddy Michael.
Ah, the panel thing.
Yeah, at Meltdown Comics. Yes. It's going to be October 9th at 7 p.m. You get to meet Greg Wiseman, who is the creator of Gargoyles, and he's also members of his forthcoming audiobook, Reign of Ghosts, including film TV legend, Ed Asner.
Ed Asner's going to be there.
Yes, as well as voice of Winnie the Pooh and Jim Cummings. Okay. And Star Wars Rebels, Vanessa Marshall. They're all going to be there. $10 gets you in the door. $30 gets you like an actual signed copy from all of the panel members.
The VIP ticket.
Right. I'm going to be there moderating it and hanging out, and it's going to be a good time. Meltdown Comics is just a fun place to hang out anyway. So if you're looking for something to do, you can get it at my website. Proceeds will benefit Comfort Zone Camp. It's a bereavement camp for children who have lost a loved one or a caregiver. And I will be there moderating the Q&A panel. Send some questions, too, if you like, for the people that will be on the panel.
Are you prepared for hecklers?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
info@friendsforbenefits.org. Send your questions over there. And $10 gets you in the door. It's going to be a fun night. Once again, October 9th at 7 p.m.
Check it out.
At Meltdown Comics.
All right. Support Anderson and good charity.
Yeah, it's for charity, guys.
Yeah, for
Come
God's
on
sake.
Down.
It's for bereavement, for kids, for God's sake.
Greg Wiseman, very talented guy. Ed Asner, a TV
legend.
Come on! Anyways, right. I'll plug that other thing later.
First things first. Busby's East is where the thing is. Saturday night.
Saturday.
What time does the thing start?
7:30. I'll probably start playing the first one at 8:15.
Yeah, we get a couple drinks in.
Everyone should get a little lubricated.
Yeah.
Prepare yourselves. My movies aren't for everybody, but I think that I'm going to get some good reactions.
I'm excited for you. I'm proud of you.
And I'm so happy you're coming, buddy.
I'm not coming. Christy you saw her a second ago, and she apologized for both of us for not being able to make it.
What are you going to be doing when I'm showing my movies?
Playing with my brother's kid.
Mm-hmm.
Bouncing her on my knee.
Mm.
It's not an appropriate place for a child.
No.
I would imagine. A cold cockle night.
Mm-hmm.
Proud of you, buddy.
It's very hurtful.
No, I hope you're not hurt.
I'm fine, actually. I'd rather you not be there.
Are you going to catch up on your sleep come next week?
Tonight's the last night that I have to sleep. Anyways, let's just
I'm interested.
On.
Let's you and me go see Sicario.
I'm not going
at
to
my
go
theater,
see a movie
at my theater
you.
Right
no,
now.
No, negative. No.
Come on, it's playing.
All right, let's look fast. I did see a couple of things that are worth talking about. Let's do this.
Let's look fast. The films we were seeing this week, three films we saw. Let's flick fast them. Anderson? I saw film.
Yeah, you should go first since I only have two. I'm so embarrassed.
I saw film. Written and directed by Scott Cooper.
Ooh.
Director of...
Hop right on with you.
Director of Crazy Heart.
Mm-hmm. Out of the Furnace?
Out of the Furnace. Mm-hmm. 2013.
No, you did not. Really?
I streamed it.
Ah, fuck.
Out of the Furnace, 2013.
This is a movie not worth your time.
Starring Christian Bale.
Not
Woody
a fun
Harrelson,
watch.
Casey Affleck. Not fun at all. No. Forrest Whitaker. Willem Dafoe.
Out of the Furnace.
Zoe Saldana,
out of the
Sam Shepard, Out of the Furnace, Scott Cooper's follow-up to Crazy Heart with Jeff Bridges.
It's a character study, and it's like
it's a
slice of life.
It's a hard watch.
And it's
not even a hard watch. It's
a really sad, depressing section of someone's life that you really would rather not experience, but you do if you watch this movie. So it's well made, it's well crafted, but why?
This is definitely a good movie I do not want to ever see again.
It'd be like somebody who
not excited to pop it back in.
A really good sculptor, and they sculpted like a really realistic poop.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like it's very realistic. It looks good, but I don't really want to look at your
poop.
Out of the Furnace is depressing and sad. and heinous in many ways. It just makes you feel dirty and sad.
It's a tough movie about dirty people. Did you say that?
Not funny. No fun.
Well, I would imagine you found the Woody Harrelson character funny and fun.
He was really evil.
He was very evil, but comically so.
Quite enough for me to remember.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I actually quite enjoyed the Woody Harrelson performance, and I kept thinking how much you would enjoy it. You probably would have laughed at it when he
I'm
was
sure I did
horrible.
At the time. I saw it in theater. I can't remember. Can't recall.
Yeah. 53% Rotten Tomatoes. Not sure why it's quite so low. It's not fun, but then again, I would say this is a good movie. No. By the way, easy, everyone. Brian doesn't understand how Rotten Tomatoes works. I understand how Rotten Tomatoes works. Generally, the movie's percentage correlates to how good it is, and 53% is a little not quite as good as I was expected to be.
Well, there's a section of like a slice of critics who have better taste than the others, maybe, and they give a pass to good movies, such as like Chappie. Like Chappie's like 30% or something. The 30% of critics who like it, those are the ones that I should pay attention to.
You should filter them out.
And that's kind of like what when people listen to this show, they're like, oh, I know what those guys like. And if, you know, Anderson likes this,
it's probably
going to be this.
Line up with one of the other.
Yeah, if Brian likes that, it's probably shit, so I won't see it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we would never say that, but for example, hypothetically. The ending is a minor letdown. The scene with Casey Affleck where he blows up at Christian Bale is maybe a little too much. Could have been reined in a little
all
bit.
All right,
but,
settle down.
But you know this is about average movie. About average movie. If you're a completionist, you got to see Scott Cooper's films. This is not a bad
really?
One.
Are we to the point with Scott Cooper that we have to be a completionist, really? He's made three. Let's settle down.
But I'm saying.
I can't say that one of them is great. None.
Well, you made another one.
Mm-hmm.
Follow this up.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay, your turn.
Yeah, go ahead. I only have two.
Oh, you want me to go again?
Yes.
Scott Cooper followed up out of the furnace.
I'm sorry. This is what I was apologizing about, guys. I'm sorry. Brian's doing back-to-backs here.
That's all right.
I apologize.
Scott Cooper followed up out of the furnace.
With?
Black Mass.
Oh, what's
in
that?
In theaters now.
Yes.
It is directed by a guy named Scott Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
He did Crazy Heart and Out of the Furnace. Starring Johnny Depp, of course, as James Whitey Bulger, Joel Edgerton, Benedict Cumberbatch, Kevin Bacon, Dakota Johnson, Peter Sarsgaard, Adam Scott, Juno Temple, 76% Rotten Tomatoes.
All right, let that go. Why? You have no idea how it works. So
that's true. I am completely mystified by how Rotten Tomatoes works.
All right, I saw this as well. All right, this is one of the three movies that I was planning on seeing this week. I also wanted to see Everest, but oh, you know what?
I thought you saw Everest.
I was going to, but it turns out it's only in 3D. Fuck you, Everest. How about that? Fuck yourself. No. Band. Dicks. I got to wait for it to come out on DVD now.
I'm very upset.
Well, why? Why do you have to do the IMAX 3D? It's a waste. When are we going to realize that, guys? It's a waste.
A lot of buzz going around right now that Johnny Depp's performance is Oscar worthy.
Oh, of course.
How say you?
Yes. Brian, don't say that.
How do you
don't
say?
Don't say how say you.
Let's say what's.
Yeah, if he's not up, I mean, we have some crazy performances in front of us. Right. He's going to be up for best actor.
Really?
Not for sure. Absolutely.
You think for sure?
Numerous
he's
times.
Very good. I do not mean to sell him short. I'm just saying, who knows what the rest of the year
the
holds.
Academy loves Johnny Depp. Everyone loves Johnny Depp. And this is the first role that he's had where he really disappears in the role. I mean, I had to keep reminding myself, it's Johnny Depp right there.
First time since Hunter S. Thompson that you weren't like, this is.
I did not like him in that role.
Hmm.
That's probably
you came into that movie with your own stuff.
This is the first role that I've liked him in since the first
Pirates movie.
Pirates, yeah.
Yeah.
This is the best performance by far and away since Pirates that I've seen.
This is probably the best movie he's in since the first Pirates movie.
Movie wise, well made movie, well crafted movie. Mm-hmm. However, not a very fun movie. Once again,
Scott Cooper's out 3 for 3 on movies that I liked but don't ever want to see again.
All right. He's kind of
Crazy
like,
Heart's not fun.
Obviously, Scott Cooper sees a lot of movies. He loves movies. I get that sense. And I feel like he's kind of like an echo of other filmmakers. I don't feel like he's doing his own thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's kind of like paying homage to, like, this feels like the last act of Goodfellas when Jimmy and Henry get all paranoid and everyone starts getting whacked left and right. But the entire movie.
But it's just that.
The entire movie. There's no fun. There's like, you don't really
enjoy.
You miss
the part coming up together and they're buds.
There's no like camaraderie. You don't really get the sense of like what it's like to be a Southie boy and one of those guys. It's just like the scary, horrible parts of it. Well-made movie, but at the end of it all, it's just a character study. It's a really well-made character study, but it's not a movie that I can say, yeah, I can't wait to see that again.
Yeah, it's got a little more plot than your average character study, but I agree with you. This is a profile of Whitey Bulger. Although, let me say this, though. I don't even know if I would go so far. Okay, clearly Whitey Bulger is the main character. However, Joel Edgerton's performance, I'm afraid it's going to get buried a little bit.
The FBI stuff was great.
I'm afraid Joel Edgerton's performance is going to get buried a little bit in the Johnny Depp worthy praise, but Joel Edgerton is the guy who has, he's our de facto main character because he's the one who has the character arc. He's the one who comes up and he's seduced by this sort of cult of celebrity that Whitey Bulger has. He's from the same neighborhood we live in.
It's all based on reality, in case you don't know. Whitey Bulger, an actual character who got picked up after years of being on the lam and topped the FBI's most wanted list. They found him in Santa Monica. And this is the actual account of his crimes and his
rise to power, basically.
His rise to power, and also
he was over mid-level, sort of street thug before he really took the reins.
Before the FBI kind of let him in, and you get that full story. Now, there's a great documentary.
I said it wasn't great.
Fuckflix right now, and you know I say great right now because I realize I saw it backwards. If I saw this movie first and then I went and saw the documentary, I would enjoy it so much more.
Really?
Because it gives you the actual true life accounts and the accuracy. So I feel like I got cheated because I watched Whitey first, which is streaming on Fuckflix. If you watch that after you see Black Mass, it's going to be a treat. I can tell you that right now.
Okay. I'm going to do that for sure.
I might go back and watch it again. But the Joel Edgerton stuff. Who's he? He's like our new Kurt Russell. He's like a modern day Kurt Russell.
Interesting.
Very Kurt Russell-esque.
Really?
Like
you think so?
Yeah.
Oh, just likability?
He looks like him. He acts like him. He is him.
Wow.
He's very...
I guess he does look a little like...
He's Snake Plissken. Eyes, eh? Yeah. He's Snake.
Yeah, his performance is great. I don't want it to go unnoticed because Johnny Depp's getting a lot of attention for good reason. But Joel Edgerton is the conflicted. Wait, Whitey Bulger is evil. He's only evil. He has no compassion.
He's a shitbag. He's a shitbag.
Yeah, he has no compassion.
And you know what's funny is like
he's an evil version of Ferris Bueller. Ferris Bueller is Ferris Bueller is to Cameron what Whitey Bulger is to Joel Edgerton.
All right, you're trying to get too heady now.
I'm not at all. I'm getting heady by bringing up Ferris Bueller.
You're getting heady.
You're
getting ahead of yourself. He's a shitbag. The Whitey Bulger's character, not fun, not enjoyable. Like Tommy in Goodfellas.
Yeah,
he's a horrible sociopath, but he's loved hilarious.
Him. He's a memorable character.
There's none of that with Whitey, and you know, maybe it's accurate. Great, but it's not really fun to spend 2 hours with.
Yeah.
He's a shitbag. He's not funny. He's just scary. He's a scary prick. And something horrible happens in his life, and I kind of appreciate the fact that they showed him being horrible before the terrible thing happened in his life. Not like they were trying to say, this is why he was an awful person. No, he was awful before.
It ratcheted it up, but it was already there.
But as a person who loves seeing movies, I really enjoyed watching Johnny Depp, you know, disappear into this role. Mm-hmm. That was fun for me. I don't know if it was fun for 2 hours. I looked at my watch quite a bit.
Lots of shootings in broad daylight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did that happen?
Yeah. They showed the picture. Did you sit through the credits?
I did, but I didn't see shootings in broad daylight.
Credits are great. Credits were reminiscent of Seven.
Yeah, they're very
brutal,
surveillance
and realistic.
Footage. Surveillance.
And enjoyable. Like skin crawling when I was watching the credits at the end. Enjoyed.
This would definitely fail the Bechdel test.
Oh my God. I was thinking that throughout. There was like very few women. And when the women are showing up, they're just like throwaway pieces. Like, oh, why are you doing that? Please stop doing that. But why? There's like not one strong female character in the time. I'm very sensitive to that now.
That's been brought to your attention.
Goddamn broads getting in the way in my head during movie watching.
The worst, right?
I need to go back and watch Goodfellas. Oh, Goodfellas is, it passes the Bechdel.
Bechdel.
I will call it Bechdel as long as I like.
It is Bechdel. And,
it is Bechdel.
Yeah, it definitely does. It definitely passes. Yeah, so there's the whole scene where they're having the shower or the mud face day.
But they're talking about the dudes nonstop.
No, some they're talking about the
voiceover.
Kids.
Actually,
you know, the
holy shit, it fails.
You know what the motherfucker did to my kid?
And you're right.
Yeah, and when she's talking,
but they're
her
talking
mom,
about dudes though. You know what that motherfucker did to my kid? They're talking about a guy.
Say,
failing the Bechdel. It's Bechdel. Bechdel.
Bechdel. And at one point,
you both fuck off.
And when they're over the girl's apartment that Henry Hill finds about, she's talking about her. Like,
she's over there because she's calling her a whore because she slept with her husband.
Before that, when she's over there showing off the apartment to her skank friends, she's like showing off like how nice everything is. And they're there because of the guy, not talking about the guy.
Interesting. We can refresh people who might be tuning in for the first time of what the Bechdel test is. Goddamn Bechdel.
The rectal test,
Brian,
is a the Bechdel test.
Sorry,
Bechdel test is a it's a standard for feminine diversity in film. It basically says it asks three questions. One, is there more than one female character? Or is there even a female character with a speaking part?
Is there more than one?
More than one.
Yeah.
Do these characters ever speak to each other, these female characters? And do the female characters talk to each other about anything other than a man?
A man, yes. Right.
Yeah, and the Goodfellas passes.
All right, barely. Barely.
Pretty barely.
Fucking Bechdel test.
Bechdel.
Oh, look at... Oh, it is Bechdel. God damn it. Son of a bitch.
I'm sorry, buddy.
All right, here we go. I saw a film.
You did?
Recommended by a listener whose name I don't have because I'm scattered and I don't have my ducks in a row, as they say. But a little 30 for 30, which barely makes it as a movie.
Man, barely. Right?
They're documentaries, though, and they're in full on free for love. Yeah.
I saw an episode of HBO Real Sports.
Fuck yourself. Slaying the Badger. Slaying the Badger.
What is this?
You ever heard of Greg LeMond?
Yes.
Greg LeMond is the cyclist. First and only American to win the Tour de France.
You technically, yeah. They stripped Lance Armstrong of
right.
the titles.
Fuck you, Lance. How about that? Fuck you. Greg LeMond, the only one. Mm. This is really dissects and looks into the 1986 Tour de France. And his increasing... he's got this teammate and mentor named Bernard Hinault, also known as the Badger.
He's an American?
No, he's a French fuck. All right?
He has a teammate?
Yeah, they're all team. It's teammates, yeah. With the
but he's
Tour
a French
France.
Guy on the American team? Is he competing against him or is he on the team?
They're together. They're on
okay.
the same team.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
And it's all about the promise that the Badger, Bernard, made to Greg. And it's really interesting to see the actual footage of when it happened in 86 and then see like them being interviewed years later. Mm-hmm. And have their takes on it.
Okay.
And what the takeaway is Bernard Hinault, the Badger. I'm going to say the C word right now, but he was a real cunt.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Like, if you're on the fence, like, I'm not sure why people always talk shit about the French people. I'm with you. I don't really like it when people talk badly about French people because they're an easy target.
It's
right?
a cliche.
And they're easy because they're white and you're allowed to and you can say whatever you like about them, right?
Yep.
But if this guy is represented,
deservedly so.
Yeah. You love Greg, you hate the Badger. Really? And it's a good watch.
Okay.
It's a good watch. And if you don't know much about the old tour there and cyclists and cycling, it's streaming on old Fuckflix right now.
I don't know much about it.
All I know is that I hate, and I have hated, I was ahead of the curve on hating Lance Armstrong. I hated him long before everyone else did. There's actually audio proof that I hated him. I was
really?
Talking badly about him like years ago. Yes. Horrible person. Hate that guy. Yeah.
All right.
Actually, you know what? The Armstrong lie actually made me like him a little bit more because he finally owns some
of
the shit.
At least opened up to being a dickbag.
But this is also a nice little look into what is cycling and what it's become and what it was and just how horrible sociopaths can be. Fun time. You love that Greg, though. Greg's great.
Greg Louganis?
Nope.
Greg
Lamont?
Okay.
Yep. Different Greg.
Different Greg. Mm-hmm.
Slaying the Badger, 30 for 30, streaming now on the old Fuckflix.
Speaking of 30 for 30.
What? No. Come on. Stop lining up with me. It makes me feel weird.
I did not see a 30 for 30, but I saw one directed by a man who directed The U Part 2, Broke. Talking about Billy Corbin. I was assigned a film.
Oh, yes, you were.
Raw deal.
Raw. Oh, yeah. I'm excited right now.
Why are you excited?
I'm pumped
about this?
Because it's so filthy.
It is filthy. Director Billy Corbin, Cocaine Cowboys and Dogfight are some of his other films. He directed a movie called Raw Deal. This is his first documentary.
First.
2001.
Zero budget.
It is available to rent on Vimeo. I had to pay $5 for this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Good news. Silver lining. Mm-hmm. It is a one-year rental. So if I ever feel like firing up Raw Deal at some point.
Ever, like, you know, pleasure yourself to some of those images? I mean, it's a porn. Essentially, you're seeing penetration.
There's a lot of there's some pixelated penetration.
Is it pixelated?
It's blurred. There's some blurred penetration.
Is it really?
Yes.
Is that Japanese style?
Okay, you talked about this last week, right? Two weeks ago.
Yes.
Yeah. So I assume our listeners are up on it, but to refresh their memories, Raw Deal is a documentary about an incident. I can't even call it an alleged incident because the incident occurred.
There's no allegations. In full color.
The University of Florida Delta Chi fraternity had a function, if you will, a ritual.
It's like Big Brother, Little Brother, bullshit.
It was a ritual.
We always get whores for this. Yeah. I mean, it's going back
and
to the 1800s.
Hired some exotic dancers. Mm-hmm. And the dancers came over the house. Two of them, one went home, one stayed. Mm. And the one who stayed alleges that some things went down.
May
one,
or may
one,
not have been
her will.
Raped.
Against her will.
Right.
The spin begins immediately. The stripper refers to herself as an exotic dancer.
Right.
And the fraternity guys talked about their event as a ritual.
Yes.
Spin begins immediately.
That's what I love so much. It's like, it's much like Slaying the Badger. It's a lot of he said, she said, And they actually have footage of what happened. And I watched this with a wife. You didn't watch it with your wife.
Oh, God,
you?
No.
No, yeah.
Oh, no.
Can you imagine how uncomfortable
it would have been?
Yeah, uncomfortable, right?
I wouldn't have never.
That's why my wife's
not. She would demand that I turned it off.
It's very, very strong.
She would demand
we
I turned
could
it
live
off.
Through that. We could watch it together and actually have dialogue about it. But she was like, do these people not realize? My wife actually said, like 10 minutes in, do these people not realize there's footage of what they're commenting on? Because we're getting exactly what happened right after they comment on it.
Well, put a pin in that, because that has the final third of the film. The first third of the film, I will say, is a very nice storytelling technique. They're interviewing opposing viewpoints. They're intercutting actual footage. There's some good exposition there. The way they bounce back and forth to get the facts, basically, the evening. Well, we drove the wheel and went home. Then she came back with me. Then this happened. And that happened. And we kind of arrived at the same place. Everyone who appears on screen in the first act, unlikable.
Oh, what'd I say?
Unlikable.
I want to flush all of them.
Even the grandma. I want the grandma gone.
Oh, she's the worst.
She's the worst.
There's actually one person who's the worst in the entire film. Let's see if we line up.
Well, let me think about it.
Let's see if we line up. There's one.
Wait, in the entire movie or the first?
We'll come back to it. Put a pin, as you like to say.
I was
going to
say can I
you got a guess?
Off the top of my head, I was going to say the senator guy.
No, he's horrible. But he's going to run on the mill horrible. Like,
the grandma's horrible. They're all
awful.
Horrible.
No, there's one who's the worst.
Who?
Other than the rapist. Obviously, the rapist is probably the alleged
rapist.
We
never talked to him. Never hear from him, though.
Yeah, but we know who he is, right? We have an idea of who that guy is.
They paint a portrait.
There's a woman. I just showed my hand.
Oh, the advocate.
Yes.
I actually.
By far the worst.
Yes, by far the worst.
If I was in some kind of odd situation where like I had to like watch a movie and then pick a documentary and pick one person that has to die immediately, without a question, it's her.
The victim's advocate.
She's the worst.
The worst.
Hate her.
Such to the point that I'm so glad you brought that up, because at the end of the movie, that she kept coming back
back. Sounds so wrong, and I probably have huge regrets, but I feel like someone should show her what rape really is. You know what I mean?
God. Like, you can't say that.
I shouldn't say that.
She's tired.
She's horrible.
She's very tired.
I'm sorry.
She is pretty bad.
Fuck her.
She is pretty bad.
I don't like that woman.
Fuck her with consent.
That might be the most evil thing I've ever said on any show.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
But I feel like, you know, because it takes away from people who actually were brutally raped. Like, it diminishes it.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're 100% right.
She's doing more harm than good.
She's
and
the
her
worst
language, the way that she like just throws around fuck and cock and stuff. It's like, what? Do you want any respect at all?
No, she's the worst. At the end of the movie,
people who rationalize stuff.
One problem with the movie, and it's I think it's a early filmmaker thing, is they only give the title, the person's name and title, once at the very beginning
when you first see them.
But
it's just
here's the problem. I forgot who she was, and by the last third of the movie, like, who is this horrible
person? Especially when she's bandying about language.
Who
like,
is she?
She doesn't seem like anyone official.
I rewound the movie just to find out who the fuck she was. Like, with what authority is she speaking?
Yeah.
Turns out none.
It's very similar. I think more people have probably seen The Thin Blue Line by Errol Morris. It's very similar on that, like where you can't rely on the narrator at all. You realize this movie is a great lesson in like don't believe what you hear.
Yeah.
Because it's wildly separate accounts of the exact same night.
That's the exact next thing I had written down. Hard to believe either side. Both parties come across as untrustworthy.
And horrible.
Yes, bad people.
Just terrible.
You want so desperately to root for someone, and they just keep giving you reasons not to. Like, at one point,
I love this movie.
At one point, I wanted to be on the guy's side, the one who was talking.
He's very like you. He's very much like
you.
No,
he's horrible. Yes. Stop it.
No, no,
and
he's a little bit like you.
Stop it.
Oh, very,
no,
a lot
he's
like
not.
You. Yes, he's
remember
very
he was
pompous
like,
and sure of himself.
I wanted to be on his side early, and then he was like, I would never associate myself with someone of her level.
That was the worst.
Oh,
yeah.
My God, he's the worst.
I am like a blue chipper.
I would never say that.
I am a white collar adult white man.
I would never associate with someone of her level. What?
Here, these words are actually spoken. Here's we are raping a crack whore tonight.
Yes,
Operation
then,
Rape a Crack Whore.
Oh my
whore.
God.
I love this movie.
It's a race to the bottom.
I love this movie.
And
you know what? I realized just now that I love this movie. This is a great movie. I wish that it was this is what I love about movies. It's like when you can actually have arguments and talk about it and like it sticks with you. All right, you have computer problems?
I am having computer problems. Come on, in my notes.
Excuse me while I'm over here at half speed. I apologize.
Escape. What's happening?
All right, I got to pee. Pause it, buddy.
This is brutal.
Right.
What's that? We good? Anderson, a few more thoughts on Raw Deal. Hilariously, remember how remember the part where the victim and her family were indignant over the fact that newspapers were calling her a stripper? It's like, and then they said the stripper, like she was indignant over the fact they're calling her a stripper.
I don't find that funny. I get like I get them taking umbrage to that. If she was a rape victim and they're just identifying her first as a stripper, that's wrong.
That's her profession. That's what.
I know, but to like make it about that more than anything else, I get that. I did not find that.
You didn't find that amusing?
I kind of took their side a little bit.
People, so the people in the movie, they view the tape. That's the last third of the movie is more or less the
second worst
of
person.
This tape.
What? The shock jock guy. That guy was the worst.
He was the worst.
He reminded me of you.
Why was he there? Oh, because he got at a party. Remember he had a party and why would you say that? Why would you say that?
I've never seen anyone consent to sex more. It was the most consensual sexual act you've ever fucking seen in your goddamn fucking life, cunt fuck. The guy just cussed to the point of cussing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And that's what I've written down.
He had like a backwards hat on with like a.
He was like a Florida area shock jock.
Such a bro.
The tape was made available to the public, and anyone could get it and make copies of it.
People were having parties.
And he was on like he invited like listeners over to watch it.
A number of people were actually they had like a wait list for this tape. Like people were actually waiting for like they were on the wait list for the tape.
Can you imagine?
Delivered. Hey, Florida, man. Florida.
People are viewing the tape differently. Like some people are like, oh, it's obviously consensual. People are like, it's obviously not consensual. And both sides point to it as evidence. Like both the victim and the alleged were like, it's obvious. Look, nothing is obvious. Something can be more further from
obvious.
And they
do this great thing where they're cutting to the actual tape. Like, you'd see both sides, you'd hear both sides, and then they cut to the actual tape. Never have we ever like actually got people to want to see a movie more than this one? We're really pushing, it seems like.
It'll push, speaking of which, it'll push your buttons.
If I was hearing this conversation and I hadn't seen it, I'd be like, must see. Must.
And then the victim claims to be, remember she was like, she was so wasted that she has little recollection, doesn't recognize her actions. But strangely, she has remarkable clarity when it comes to her describing her, what she was thinking and feeling. There's a lot of double talk going on both sides.
She was drunk, methed out, and you can see all that on the tape. All of them are horrible people. Here's the one thing that no one talks about. They're actually doing sex, right? What if they created something that was a combination of the two?
Oh my god, the worst.
That's the Antichrist.
The worst baby in the world.
Like that's what the movie could be called. Is like attempting to create the Antichrist.
Yeah, the subtitle. Raw Deal.
Let's move on. Raw Deal. Not the Schwarzenegger film, but the documentary Raw Deal.
Yeah, shockingly, the worst of it occurs just after the cameras are turned off. It's like, oh, that's when the bad stuff happens.
I kind of might think that possibly that's the case. Because she left like an hour later.
True. She escaped. She fled.
And it's hard to man a camera when you're raping. She fled. Evidently. Okay. Anyways, Raw Deal. It's definitely worth a watch. It's
worth a watch.
Don't watch it with your significant other, though, or your parents, or like
or anyone.
Child.
Watch it alone in the dark.
Watch it by yourself and... Be prepared to take a nice hot shower after because it's filth.
Yeah.
Gross.
Can you send away for it on Netflix? Is it even available to be sent away for?
No, not even.
Is it really just Vimeo?
That's what this listener kept. I said his name last week. I can't remember. What's his name? Fuck. Michael Joseph? Joseph Michael? Anyways, listener like alerted me to it. And he's like, you got to see this. It's like, because obviously, he was right.
Create some conversation.
And I'm like, dude, not available anywhere. And he's like, I'll send you a copy. He sent me a copy. And that's how I saw it. And I brought it to the program.
Spend $5 on Vimeo and check it out.
All right, let's get to the bathroom list here. Let's do this. I got a clip too. You got a clip?
I got clips.
No clips.
No clips.
I got a fun clip.
Ooh, clips.
How much crossover? You get a guess right now.
There's so many to choose from. I'd be shocked if we even had one.
Zero. Okay. We'll see.
I have a lot of.
We'll see.
Next. Football season, Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
People are celebrating
football
on Amazon through our Amazon click-through banner up there at AndersonandBryan.com. Right there at the top of the page, someone got a Green Bay Packers baby throw.
Why wouldn't you?
Blanket. Someone got a woman's Victoria's Secret Seattle Seahawks t-shirt. And somebody got a toddler LSU Tigers football jersey. So enjoy that when you're watching your football on the weekends or on Thursdays or Mondays, I suppose. Football goes forever now.
Saturdays after college is done, they go Saturday, yeah.
Other things that were purchased on the Amazon.com click-through banner on AndersonandBryan.com include a Star Wars X-Wing model schematic t-shirt. Sort of shows the X-Wing model inside and out on the t-shirt. Oh, it's back! Astronaut ice cream! Astronaut ice cream was purchased.
Fine.
It's been a long time. Gringo Bandito hot sauce. That's Dexter from The Offspring. Dexter,
it is.
Dexter
looks like me.
Sauce. He looks a bit like you.
Yeah.
Someone got a Fitbit charge and apparently a Fitbit scale. I don't realize Fitbit's sold smart scales, but they sell those.
So that's what I looked at this morning when I woke up, and I'm like, how many hours did I actually sleep? And I said four hours, 2 minutes. I'm like, I can't do it. Yeah. I can't go see Zagadio.
This is untenable. Untenable. Fun Zone Vulcan Love Skin Wet Vagina Masturbator.
What? Is that with pointy ears and dildos?
Wand Essentials Fluttering Kiss Dual Stimulation Silicone Wand Massager Attachment. Yeah, and people are...
Say Vulcan?
Vulcan. I said vulcanized rubber, perhaps. Someone got a sponge, a vaginal birth control sponge, and Trojan condoms.
It's like
thanks for participating in safe sex, y'all.
A Spock, like, vibrator?
No, it's vulcanized. I'll spin you off the air. Check this out.
Please don't.
A Nicolas Cage pillowcase. It says, see you in my dreams.
Oh, I love it. I want that. For I need Christmas. That. I have to have that.
Someone got the big green egg and some accessories. Someone got a kid's picnic table.
Big green egg is solid. Solid.
Yeah, it is. A Sunbeam 12-speed 350-watt mixer, a stand mixer. A torque wrench was purchased. This is cool. It's one of those chairs that expands, but it's got a cooler in the armrest. It's one of those, like, camping chairs, like Coleman camping
chairs. I don't want to move one inch.
All right, I'm not getting up with that goddamn beer. I'm going to keep it right here next to me. A Samsung 55-inch 4K Ultra LED HD TV. An expensive item.
That's huge.
For us, you guys. A, what is this here? A 20-quart cooler, if you don't want to keep the beers in your armrest, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
A, somebody bought, the pulls that you would put on a drawer to pull a drawer out, you know what I mean? So about 8 of those.
What?
You know, the handles. They
okay.
would, you know, appreciate that.
Restoration hardware.
A garbage disposal, and somebody is redoing a, redoing their, I assume their living room, their house, perhaps. Somebody got 10, don't turn the music down.
There he's not. He's
somebody
not.
Got 10 three-way switches, 28
Brian, you can do it.
Wall plates, 34 wall plates.
Wall plates. Yeah.
Someone's redoing their electrical system, basically. I've got a whole bunch of shit through us. So thanks for thinking of us.
You're freaking out right now.
Try
You're
post.
Freaking out.
Thanks.
You missed it. Could you make an actual kick-ass like weapon out of a garbage disposal? I bet you could. I bet you could sell them separately.
You'd have to hand-hold it.
Well, you can move some shit around, but holy shit.
Yeah, but you guys, you could.
Oh, my
Thanks
God.
Thanks to whoever is doing the remodeling
like
through us. We appreciate it. You bought a lot of shit. Dozens and dozens of items.
In films and horror films and whatnot. Garbage I feel like you can have a lot more. I've written a few things
around
garbage disposals.
There's a lot of tension to be captured around garbage disposals. Reaching your hand in.
Like holding someone's hand down. Mm. Like, you know, saying, hey, if you don't give me the answer in 3, 2, have right. the finger by the switch. I've never seen that. Why haven't I ever seen that?
Yeah, pull it back a stump.
Fuck that. They'll pull it out of the sink and actually make a weapon. Here in the building, Fast and the Furious 1-7 collection, limited edition. Really, is it limited? Really?
Limited.
Is it really limited?
I'm pretty sure they made millions.
Foxcatcher was. I still love the idea of Foxcatcher, of the guy that Channing Tatum was playing.
Oh, the actual
what's
character.
His name? Mark? What's his name? Come on, give it to me. What was the guy's name?
Duplass. Was it Duplass?
No, not Duplass. Oh, Jesus Christ. It's all right.
DuPont was the guy. And
DuPont was the main guy. Yeah. But I love the idea of whoever was playing him. And he's like sitting in the theater going, oh, this is going to be great. I think his name was Mark something. No, Mark was the guy that died. But he's like, this is going to be great. Channing Tatum playing me. Yeah. He's like, why is Channing Tatum looking like a monkey? Why is Channing Tatum only grunting? Moonrise, Kingdom has clicked through. Prometheus, Tangerines. Fuck to the yes. Tangerines, a tough movie to watch. But goddamn, is it thought-provoking. Cabin in the Woods clicked through as well as The Mist. I'm not going to say that one. When is it heat? Bram Stoker's. I got to love the fact that Coppola has never put his name above a movie. That's pretty cool. He put Bram Stoker's Dracula. He's never made a movie that he actually feels confident enough to put his own name on.
Really?
Yeah. That's humble. Well, I like that.
Yeah, it was Mario Puzo's The Godfather.
Chappie was...
Mark Schultz.
Mark Schultz sitting in the theater thinking, this is going to be awesome.
This is the day of my life.
Like, he's got like a lady on his
arm. It's all in up to this.
Channing Tatum's playing me, by the way. You know the hottest man in Hollywood? Yeah, he's playing me.
Opening scene, see a good looking
Here we
man?
Go.
That's me. Check. I'll show. I'll
There's Channing Tatum. He's playing.
Never forget, that's me.
Why is he have hair on his back? Why is he grunting?
Why is his chin sticking out like an ape?
Chappie was clicked through. Chappie. Oh, fuck the yes, Chappie. I'm not going to see either one of those. Mad Max was clicked through, as well as Me and Earl, the Dying Girl.
What are you not going to say?
Wild Tales.
What are you not going to say?
I don't talk about Harry fucking Potter. Okay. Come on. Everyone settle down, all right? Harry fucking Potter. Really?
Beloved film franchise.
Yeah. Harry fucking Potter. I saw the first one. That's enough for me.
Thanks, you guys. We appreciate the click-throughs.
Back to the show.
Oh, that's my line.
Stop it, Brian. Oh, don't say it like that. It's my line. Ugh.
Hey there, kids. It's Tom Likas, and you're listening to The Film Vault on AndersonandBrian.com.
Earnest and serious. So sad.
So earnest. It was such a sympathetic request.
Please allow for me.
Please allow for me.
Brian and I talking about drops from the olden
drops,
days.
Yeah. Before I stole a bunch. Thank you to you guys for listening and
downloading. Stole and sold.
True. Let's talk
any
about
shame?
What's that?
Shame about that. Stealing my drops.
I do not steal a single drop.
And then selling them like on iTunes.
That's far from the truth.
Actually 100% accurate.
Really? I'd like to know which drop.
You asked for numerous drops. I gave you many drops. And then next thing I know, you got a soundboard available on the old iTunes.
Not a single drop of yours is on there.
I doubt that. Let's bust them out.
I'm jealous. How is it? So you just make accusations.
I like to assume things.
With no evidence.
Really easy.
You're like the people in Raw Deal.
I'm like the lazy guy who just assumes that the sun comes up because like there's some little blue Smurf guy that kicks it up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I don't want to look into science and research. I just assume like there's a Smurf character who pushes the sun up every day.
Reasonable explanation.
However, it doesn't mean that I don't believe that you stole my drops and sold them.
I made them famous, buddy.
My God, I want to crush your skull so bad.
Skull crushing. Big trend.
All right, here we go. Bathroom scenes. God damn you. I made them famous. Fuck yourself.
Well, that's not necessarily true.
Wow, I'm angry here right now. If I had any interest in caring about that portion of my career, I would be very upset.
I didn't use any of your drops in my app. They're all mine.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a list somewhere that we can
look at?
Right,
the app right
now. Let's do that. Go ahead. You do your number five. I'm going to peruse this
here. I would like you to play the app.
I don't want to play it. You're just seeing this as a... Oh, fuck you.
Not Anders' drops.
Yeah, of course not. Why would you do that? Why would you ever give credit to somebody? Listen, you peruse. Now, you're using this as a plug spot. I don't want you to do that. All right? Stop it.
You are the dumbest person alive. What is wrong with you?
Okay. All right. Give it to me.
How dare you?
That's mine.
That's Richard Lewis from the radio show.
Give it to me. I'm going to peruse. You go ahead. You do number you five. I'm going to check out like I usually do. Look at this stupid picture of you upside down. So terrible. All right, go ahead. I'm going to tune out here.
Uh-huh. I saw film.
You did. No, you didn't. We're not doing fashion. We're doing top five bathroom scenes. Here we go.
Top five bathroom scenes. What's your criteria? Oh, you're tuned out. I'm sorry.
Scenes that take place in a bathroom.
I try to avoid the poop and...
That's mine!
That's from the radio show. Corolla did that bit on the radio show. Get back here. Please get... Don't for more beer.
That's absolutely mine.
That is not you. Corolla did that bit on the radio show.
Did you have him recreate? I have that.
I know you're going to find this hard to believe. He does repeat himself from time to time.
All right. Here we go. All right. Enough of that. Off of that. Let's move on to bathroom scenes. Let's go.
Hold on.
No! No more!
You talk too much.
There you go. We're going to wrap it up there.
Turn the volume. Was that an attack?
That was the Anderson Cowan special.
Let's go. Come on. We're boring the listeners. We really need to give them the top five bathroom. Let's go.
My app is available on iTunes.
My God. Do not use this as a fucking filthy...
You brought it up! You literally brought it up. You can't bring it up and then say no. Oh, boy.
You're so pleased. That you're like, are you bringing up a money-making venture for me?
Let's talk about it. All right, Mr. Fucking Cold Cockle Night.
You stole.
Yeah. What did I steal?
All the money that I'm getting for Cold Cockle Night is going straight to the next fucking movie that I'm going to lose more money on. All right? It's all about the art, Brian. I'm suffering. All right? I don't spend one dime on myself. Everything goes back into Cold Cockle.
I know. It's very
honorable. I don't take the money and go to Italy.
Well, someday,
like someday
you're going to make money off these films and you're going to pocket it, and good for you.
I'm never going. No one makes money on making movies anymore. No one does that.
You're going to be an impresario. You're going to have a studio, Cold Cockle Studios.
Let's do it.
I'm going to go to your bungalow on the Radford lot.
Stop it. Let's go.
Number five
for you.
I know you'd be down with this. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I'll any crossover, but if we do, I wouldn't be surprised if Full Metal Jacket was on your list.
Shit, we have crossover.
We do?
Fuck me.
Wow.
All right, I'm going right to my number three, I guess. Here we go. Full Metal Jacket, 1987, directed by Steven Spielberg.
What if we had a whole bunch of crossover?
You know I've been drinking, if I'm
serious. There are dozens. You really have been drinking.
I'm joking, though.
There are dozens and dozens of bathroom scenes. We're going to go over a very long list of all
Kubrick alone has a top five bathroom scene.
He does. The Shining almost made the list.
Tarantino alone has a top five.
Yes.
Pulp Fiction alone has top five bathroom scenes. Yep. I feel like we should have really stretched this out.
Yeah, we could have stretched it out.
We should have.
This is a bathroom scene because the alleged event, I say alleged, the event depicted take place at a latrine. The scene features Vincent D'Onofrio, Matthew Modine, and R. Lee Ermey. Starts off as a Marine recruit, Leonard Lawrence, a soft, innocent private under the direction of Gunnery Sergeant Hartman. He's broken out physically, his head shaved, he's beaten
his
by
brain
his
is broken. He, they broke
and
his
mentally.
Brain.
They call him Gomer Pyle. They abuse mercilessly. Slowly loses his mind.
This is an extremely, maybe the most intense climax to
a sequence,
an end of a first act you'll ever see.
Mm-hmm.
This is the end of the first act, and it is
the movie can't recover from this.
It eclipses it. You're right. It really can't. That's one of the inherent problems with Full Metal Jacket. I love it, but it should have been two separate movies. Kubrick, for whatever reason, decided to make it all one, but it doesn't recover. You're right. It's the most intense end to any act, let alone a first act you'll ever see, and then it's kind of downhill from there. Even though they go to Vietnam after that, it's just downhill.
Yeah, I can't recover. It's it sets the whole movie could have been the basic training.
I kind of wish it was, and then he made a separate one. I wish he did that.
My favorite line from that scene is when Kevin Kline's like, "If you don't put that gun away." I always confuse Kevin Kline and Matthew Modine.
Shows up?
Possibly
sweet.
Because their letters, their first and last names are all the same letter. Oh. Klein, and
the alliteration fucks you up, really?
It does. It really does. But when Matthew Modine says, "If you don't put that gun away, we're going to be in a world of shit." And D'Onofrio, "I am in a world of shit."
You know, I hated this movie when it came out.
What?
It was before I was a Kubrick file, and I was a platoon guy.
Oh.
And I'm like, what is
this? A year later.
What is this guy? This guy, he just because he has fame for making Shining and Clockwork. Oh, a bit of Clockwork. But anyway, why is he? And he's just trying to pile on to Oliver
One
Stone.
One more Vietnam movie.
Oliver Stone's masterpiece, which I still agree. I love Platoon
Platoon's
more.
Better movie than this.
But it was before I had the Kubrick. Thank God. Because if I had the Kubrick love back then, I'd probably be like, Platoon shit. Anyways, not important.
There's probably people who think this is a better movie, you think?
Number five for me.
Okay.
Sequel. How often do I have sequels on the list? Rarely.
Wow, I don't know where this is going.
Richard Donner directed it.
Lethal Weapon 2, great
Hell
scene.
Hell to the fucking yes.
This
Lethal Weapon 2, 1989.
We almost had like four crossovers.
1989, this is the only thing that even touches on the scat humor for me. Danny Glover sitting on a toilet.
His toilet.
His own toilet in his home upstairs, along with Jew hater Mel Gibson, his partner. And it's
for their outward signs of
very
hatred.
A very well directed scene. It's even touching. Like there's some real like man love going on here. Like they actually, you can tell how much they actually care about one another. And it's absurd. And it's a crazy like situation for Danny Glover is sitting on a toilet, his own toilet, and there's a bomb. And if he gets up, it explodes. He dies. So a bunch of like, you know, emergency rescue people have to come in and try and help the situation. They're like, "Yeah, Jew hater, out of here." And that Jew hater is like, "No, I'm going to stay. I this is my boy."
Riggs, Martin Riggs.
So Riggs hangs out with Glover and
Murtaugh.
Roger Murtaugh. Somebody loves.
I love Lethal Weapon. Not this one so much, but this scene's fantastic.
It's a great scene. It's a really great scene. And actually, it reminds me, I think I might have told you, on my way back from camp once years ago, I'm on a bus.
Uh-huh.
And a kid who's like, you know, he's sanctioned to a wheelchair. He's all twisted from cancer and disease.
Right.
But a great kid. He's a great kid. And I knew him from camp. And it was the end of camp. And we're driving on the bus home. And he had to go to the bathroom. So I had to hold him on the toilet. And I'm in the bathroom toilet in on the bus. And, you know, like taking turns and stuff. It was tough. And I'm holding him on either side. And it's surreal. Like, how often are you going to be in a situation where you're holding like an 11-year-old kid.
Right.
Who's all fucked up so he can go to the bathroom. And he's staring right at me, and he's making fun of me because I'm wearing earrings. And I'm like, this is such a weird thing. I took the earrings out.
Yeah, you can. I took them out. There's still comeback for that.
But kind of similar because like so vulnerable. But Glover was very honest and like, you know, he realized the situation. Like this is what it is, and it was touching. It was a very touching. And I was a kid when I saw this. I was really young, yeah. So I was worried. I'm like, oh no.
Oh no, now what?
He's gonna die. His ass is gonna explode. I was terrified. Looking back now, I realize
probably unlikely.
Spoiler alert,
probably,
you know, chances of him exploding.
Spoiler alert, it did make a number 3 and number 4. So he probably, his ass probably did not explode.
If he did die, Leo Getz probably wouldn't exist.
Good point.
Leo Getz, what you want.
What you need, Leo Getz.
All right, here we go.
I feel like with my limited recollection of the entire series, but this scene may have been one where it hinged on moving more towards comedy and away from sort of, because that first Lethal Weapon movie was not that funny. Like, no, it was a pretty intense
80s, yeah, cop thriller.
Yeah, drama action thriller.
I don't want to say thriller. Action drama, yeah.
But then it kind of made a turn for the, not what, well, I would call
well,
it.
Well, you
silly
have to. The farther you go, you got to like get, you know, more. And plus, you trust the characters more and you're willing to
and
laugh
become
with
friends
them.
In, yeah, the series, so they probably have a rapport.
What's your number 4?
Number 4 for me. This is probably, yeah, definitely. Well, no. Oh, I can't say that. Listen.
You can do it. Just listen, do it. Listen. Make words that make sense. Listen. Please.
I'm going to throw a movie out at you that doesn't get talked about on the show too much.
Oh,
but,
Jesus.
Only
so much preamble.
It's a very popular movie. It's very, made a lot of money. Well, no. It's probably quoted by people that you and I don't like. People like me.
The funniest thing you've ever said. What did I say?
Come on, buddy. Get a grip.
What do you say? What do you quote? Number that was the funniest thing you've ever said to me.
Number 4. Austin Powers.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my. Come on. It's a fantastic bathroom scene. Please tell me it's on your list.
Remind me. No, it's not.
No, you don't remember.
I don't remember.
Oh.
No, okay. It's a fat bastard.
No. Nothing to do. This is Fat Bastard. Is in number 2. This is the original. Oh, it's a brilliant scene. Okay. Austin Powers is trying to infiltrate Dr. Evil's planet. He's trying to figure out what's going on. Dr. Evil wants him killed.
Yes.
Dr. Evil wants him killed.
Right.
He sends his henchman, number 2, to go try and sabotage him.
Right.
And they meet at a Vegas blackjack table. Mm-hmm. And Austin Powers excuses himself to go to the bathroom. He's trying to figure out what number 2 is all about, who he works for. Mm-hmm. And while he's there, one of Dr. Evil, he meets Tom Arnold in the bathroom. And they go into stalls, bathroom stalls, what's next to each other. Uh-huh. And they sit down. And while Austin's sitting down, one of Dr. Evil's henchmen attempts to assassinate him. He comes in from the wall and attempts to choke him.
I remember this. Yeah,
but Austin Powers starts struggling in his seat. He starts kicking. And Tom Arnold looks over.
Right?
He looks over at his feet struggling. He's like, "You all right there, buddy?"
Yeah.
And he's kicking his feet. He's like,
"Argh!" And he starts making some scat humor.
And then he pulls
the henchman through the wall,
starts dunking his head in the toilet and screaming, "Who does number 2 work for?"
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Tom Arnold's like, "Yeah, buddy, show that turd who's boss." And then he comes out of the stall and they meet, and there's the perfect punchline to this whole thing. After he kills the guy and leaves him in the toilet, you see just this body turned upside down, head in the toilet. Tom Arnold looks back and says, "Damn, boy, what did you eat?"
I thought you didn't like scat humor.
Logan liked it.
Yeah, I know.
It's a pretty fucking great scene. It's a pretty fucking great
not
scene.
A good sign if
you laugh when like... you saw it the first time. You fucking admit that, right?
Pretty scat. Pretty scat.
Come on. Grit your teeth and we'll get through this.
Low hanging fruit. All right, here we go.
Number
4 for me.
Austin Powers. Who does number 2 work for?
All my movies are pretty close in range too, as far as years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all within like 6 years of each other. The best bathroom scenes in the history of Hollywood have been made in the same 6 years, within a 6-year span.
It's interesting. Study.
Number 4 for me. Mm-hmm. 1998. Farrelly Brothers made a movie called There's Something About Mary.
They sure did.
How is this not on the list? How is this not on your list?
It's a great movie.
Frankin' Beans!
That's a great movie and a great scene.
Such a great,
God, that
well-executed scene. I watched it for the research to make sure that I wasn't, you know, just mind-playing tricks. This is a well-constructed, hilarious scene.
You're 100% right.
To the Farrelly Brothers?
This in the theater, this scene in particular... pandemonium. When the cop yells out, when the EMT yells out, "We got a bleeder!" Pandemonium.
I can't tell you.
We missed entire lines of
the
dialogue.
Last time. This is the last movie that I saw where people were laughing hysterically in the theater. I remember I saw it in Palm Springs with my parents, mom and dad. My mom never goes to see movies, but we saw this together. And The last time I can remember seeing a movie in theaters where everyone's laughing. Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. I don't see it.
I remember missing lines of dialogue because people were laughing so much.
Ben Stiller.
Over to the next line.
Keith David, who apparently is a listener on this program.
Unlikely.
You know, Ben Stiller's in a few bathroom scenes. There's only one on my list, though.
Okay.
I can tell you that. But it's hilarious. He's seen there. There's thoughts that maybe he's beating off. Everyone's seen there's something about Marius. I don't have to explain it. But
thoughts that he's beating off.
People think that's why he zips it up because she looks over and she thinks that he's like masturbating. Yes.
No one thinks that.
Yeah.
She thinks it.
Yeah.
Oh really?
She looks through the window. In the window thinks like he's
beating off.
Oh, right.
So
I don't even
he
view,
zips
okay.
up real. He's like no, and then he zips up. That's right. What causes him to panic.
Right.
And next thing you know, he's got the Frank and the beans, and they're in the zipper, and the off camera like of the mentally challenged brother yelling Frank and beans. It's hilarious. And then the cops in the window. It's almost like Three's Company. Yep. And then the fire department comes in, and it culminates with the we got a bleeder. It's just a great, well constructed, hilarious scene that you can't forget. And
I'll go as far as saying that no one has ever.
Is it on your list?
It is not.
Stop pontificating.
Farrelly Brothers are at the peak of their powers here, such that no one's ever been more at the peak of their comedic powers in terms of just it's a perfect encapsulation.
Did they put all their funny
it's
into
been a
like
dark,
one or two
dark,
movies?
Oh
what
boy.
Happened?
I'm on record as saying Three Stooges is okay, but holy
you
moly.
You forced me to see that.
Dumb and Dumber 2 was rough.
Why would you see that?
I try and see a lot of movies. Try and see most movies.
Well, no, that's counterintuitive what you're saying. If you're trying to see a lot of movies, you want to be out there seeing fucking Dumb and Dumber 2.
It's getting in the way of seeing movies.
Spelled T-O, yes, hilarious. So funny. Because they're dumb.
It was pretty
rough. They're retarded, so they spell 2 wrong.
Number 3 for me. Very different than the last couple of movies discussed. Wouldn't be surprised if it was on your... Actually, you know what? It's more than 6 years away from your Full Metal Jacket, so... Is Training Day on your list?
Nope.
Oh, great bathroom scene though. Come on.
It's intense, but I
love
Training
Day.
But if anything doesn't really ring true for me, it's the whole like getting your shit pushed in. It just seemed too over the top.
But that's not the scene I'm talking about.
I know, but it's right before that, and then they take him in there and they try to show him like what the shit.
I'm talking about the scene where
in the bathtub.
I don't remember them saying ship pushing. I just watched it earlier
right before
today.
And they're playing like cards.
Oh, okay. I'm literally thinking of the scene where they drag him in the
right
bathroom.
Right before, and then they drag him in the bathroom right after.
I think I started watching it where they dragged him in the bathroom.
It's intense. And then,
it's very intense. Directed by Anton Fuqua. Talk about Training Day from 2001. The scene features Ethan Hawke, Cliff Curtis plays Smiley and his henchman, and Samantha Baker plays Letty.
I think Noel's in there too. Hmm? One of the gangsters' names is Noel.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So they Smile and his gang drags Ethan Hawke. He's a cop, undercover cop. Is he undercover?
Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I'm setting up the scene.
What are you doing? You're telling everything.
Yeah, did I say anything? They drag Ethan Hawke. That's all I said.
They figure out that he's an undercover cop. I mean, that's kind of like you watch a movie about an undercover cop and you're talking about the end scene where they figure out that he's an undercover cop. It's kind of like...
All right, well, this is not the climax of the film. I will simply say... Okay, fine. You know what? I won't say anymore. I'll simply say that it's a very intense scene.
It's intense. It's terrifying.
If there's a shortcoming, I'm only going to say that it's a bit of a deus ex machina. Yeah. It's a bit of...
The wallet.
It's a little implausible. Yep. It stretches plausibility.
Yeah,
that
like
said,
it.
it's number 3 on my list.
You
great
just
scene.
Love to use that term.
What?
You love it.
What? Plausibility?
Dana.
Oh, Deus Ex Machina.
You love to say that.
I wanted to talk about
it. Do they find out that he's an undercover cop, though? Like, I thought they already knew that.
Yeah, I think because they know
moving
Denzel.
Away from that.
No.
We're not talking about that.
Because Denzel's like in with them.
For those
they know Denzel's
this
a cop.
This is not a revelation. Like, Denzel, like, he's Denzel's partner.
And they even preface that ship pushing sentence with, hey, cop, you ever had your shit pushed in?
So why are they going to kill
him?
Get
that drop.
Oh, because...
That I'm not going to say.
All right. Okay, you're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah, it's been years since I've seen it.
It's a good movie.
Dana.
Antoine Fuqua has been a little bit
exposed. Because word on the street, you know, don't say this to anyone, but apparently Denzel directed that.
Oh, really?
Fuqua kind of just was along for the ride.
Okay. Can we go back to the show now?
That's why no one's... He's never really made anything close to Training Day.
That's all been very, very...
Sword in the straight.
Okay. Hey, back to the show. Sorry we were away for a minute. Having a conversation in private.
That's the word.
Number 3 for you.
I already did it.
The Full Metal Jacket?
Yeah.
Coming up next, the top 2 bathrooms. Top 2.
Brian!
Bathroom scenes of all time.
Don't laugh at that, Logan! Well, she was so in love before he gave her everything. They used to seem so happy, but it didn't mean a thing. Love's become such a habit in a well that's running dry. They're finally down acting till she said, I got my. Oh, Anderson.
Yeah.
Christy and I have been loving Blue Apron.
Who's Christy?
Christy is my wife, and she's a foodie. So you know Christy's like really into food and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's like a food snob. Yeah, you can say that. I can say that.
Okay, I will stop short and say that she's into food. She respects food. She loves the cooking. She loves chopping. She loves the process. And if Blue Apron wasn't the real deal, she would have nothing to do with it. She would say, send it back or stop our shipments. But oh, no. This week, Logan, we were talking about it earlier. We
What's
had the ramen. It was the chicken pork ramen.
Pork ramen.
And the chili-dusted chicken. Oh, my God. So good.
And there's
pork ramen.
Ton of imitators out there.
I love ramen.
Blue Apron. The OG.
Yeah.
Where it's at.
The food, the ingredients, they send you, if you guys have heard us talk about it, but they send you the ingredients parsed out exactly how much you need. If you need a pinch of this or a dozen these or whatever, they'll send it to you. And if you guys want to try it for yourself, I recommend you do it. Get you two meals free.
Check out the menu, too, at blueapron.com. Just check out the menu right there. Go to blueapron.com TFV.
Yeah.
blueapron.com/TFV. And you know what?
What's that?
Check out the menu.
Check out the menu. You can actually check the menu for the next several weeks and see like, oh, that looks good. And you can also switch out for vegetarian options if there's something that appeals to you.
Yeah, like I don't eat lamb. I don't eat pig.
Exactly.
I just check that little box right there. No pig, no little lamb.
And get those first two meals free on us. blueapron.com/TFV. blueapron.com/TFV. You know what I did earlier today, Anderson?
What's that, Brian?
I created a DraftKings lineup.
DK!
I really enjoy making the lineups because they give you a salary cap, right? $50,000. And they assign...
It's like math.
Every single player in the league every single player in the league that you could possibly be drafted gets a salary, and you must make your lineup based on that. Do you spend your money all at quarterback, or do you save it for receivers, or do you spend it on defense? It's an algorithm. It's fun. I enjoy making the lineups. I enjoy tinkering, swapping out.
It's like Tetris with numbers.
It kind of is with football players.
Right.
Even better. Hey, if you guys want to challenge me, by the way, Bald Brian Anderson is Brian Sucks, but I'm Bald Brian.
I'm Brian Sucks with a Y. Brian Sucks. Brian Sucks.
I don't know why you say it two, three
times. That's my name. I'm just letting people know. It's Brian Sucks.
You're gratuitously saying it. Mm-hmm. Hurry to DraftKings.com now. Use promo code TFV to play for free for a shot per part. Hurry to DraftKings.com now. Use promo code TFV to play for free for a shot at part of $10 million in Sunday Millionaire Maker event. I'm entered, so I will be there for that shot. Listen, $10 million, if I win it, show's over. Enter TFE for free entry now, only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
Hey, Brad.
Hey, what's up, Luke?
You like to make a little scratch?
I do.
How do you like the idea of like turning an app on and off when you want to work?
That sounds fantastic because nothing bothers me more than
hours.
Downtime. You know what I mean? The downtime.
Having to be at a workplace at a certain hour? Brutal.
Brutal. I want to I got 4 hours free.
Those are like
turn the app on, make some money.
Yesterday's problems because now with Uber,
yes,
you just turn the app on
at your convenience.
When you want to work, you work
in your own damn car. Turn your radio on, listen to it as you're driving around. You go to pick someone up, make a little conversation. It's the way to do it, right?
I would be doing if I wasn't doing the show, I'd be doing Uber for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Show's over.
You want me to do Uber?
Yeah, we're over.
I'd love to do Uber. Wait, I could deal with strangers rather than you? I'd love to do Uber. That'd be awesome.
It's going the right way. Hey, Uber. You got a car? You got a license? Put them both to work for you and start earning serious, life-changing money today. Sign up to Drive with Uber. Visit drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com. drivewithuber.com.
If you haven't already heard the record-breaking podcast where Shaq interviewed Kobe...
What's up, Kobe?
What's up, my man?
Well, no worries, because you can get it right now at podcast1.com. Just click on the big podcast with Shaq. And while you're there, check out Shaq's other A-list guests. Charles Barkley, Kyrie Irving, Dan Patrick, DeMarco Murray, Adam Sandler, Ronda Rousey, Nick Cannon, Rich Eisen, George Lopez, and so many more, like Kobe.
We've got in a fist fight.
That just showed me that, you know what, this kid ain't gonna back down.
At podcast1.com. That's podcastone.com.
Oh, no, no.
Wow. Hey.
How about that?
What is this?
This is Anderson style of music.
little Dicky Barrett, right?
No, like it's like, well, who's the band that does Black Shoes, Black Handbag, Cadillac?
Dicky Barrett.
The Boys of Time Rancid. Bomb. Rancid, that's it. It's got a little Rancid action going on.
Feels more like Dicky. I love it, though. What is this?
It's a band called Hard Pipe Hitters.
Wow.
That's a great fucking name. Get me a couple hard pipe hits. Everybody think of Pulp Fiction.
Yep.
Think of that line.
Think
that's fucking
Ving
amazing.
Marcellus Wallace.
Give me a couple hard pipe hitting.
You were easily abused today.
Yeah, I am.
Remember that time I said something really funny made you laugh?
Nah, you never did that.
Oh, okay.
Except for when you denigrate yourself.
Number two.
Which you did earlier. All right, here we go. My number one and two, movies that are maybe overly represented on this year program. I'll admit that. They're tied. I mean, I was going back and forth the last few days. I'm like, cool, what's number one? You know, I like one more than the other for certain reasons. But, you know, if I could only watch one over and over again, as well as far as construction goes, I really did do my due diligence here. I watched both of them numerous times because I was taking a break from, you know, actually creating shit. And I got to watch other people's stuff, and I was really judging. And I was like, you know what? It's ironic. It's crazy. I don't know if ironic is the word. But I might be judged for saying that one is constructed better than the other. But one is.
All right,
and one's made by a master filmmaker who may no longer be with us. And one's not made by a master filmmaker who may still be with us. But I think one is superior over the other. There we go.
Interesting. My number two is made by a master filmmaker who's no longer with us.
Oh yeah? What's that called? Can't be mine.
Sometimes it's unlikely. Sometimes the most iconic, the most famous has to be mentioned. Sometimes I leave it off.
The Hitchcockian.
Yeah, Psycho.
Yeah, I'm glad you did.
Psycho.
It is the most iconic.
I got some fun facts for you on the Psycho shower scene, the famous shower scene. You think there's people in our audience who have not seen Psycho?
I would think there's a very limited amount.
Guys, please.
Very small amount.
Do yourselves a favor. This is a great movie. The famous shower scene. Yes, it took seven.
Are you saying that just because you feel like you should?
What?
Psycho?
No. That's,
you really
this scene's
that?
Fantastic.
Okay, good.
There's no music.
No, but the movie itself.
If I'm to be totally honest, there are parts of the movie that don't hold up. They drag a little bit.
I set you up. It's a great fucking
movie.
But it's unbelievable.
It
aged so well. It's a great fucking movie. You watch this thing. You can't believe that it was made in 1960.
The high stuff I don't need. But all that stuff. However, the great parts are as great as any movie.
Okay.
That said.
Sorry.
Psycho, the shower scene. I'll get to the music in a second.
Little fun fact.
Supposedly took 7 days to shoot. 70 different camera angles. 78 pieces of films, claimed Hitchcock.
For the one scene,
which is 45 seconds. So the 45 seconds of the stabbing.
Yeah, seven days for 45 seconds. Yeah. Is that what you're believing?
A week of shooting for the one scene.
The one scene.
The stabbing section of the 45 seconds where the actual attack is happening.
I can't believe they took
that's,
a full week.
That's,
really?
That's 78 pieces of film.
Wow.
Supposedly.
Wait, how many people? What?
What?
What did you say?
78 pieces of film.
What does that mean?
Like cuts, basically. Back
78
in the day. Yeah, in the old days, they used to cut to splice together pieces of film. Anderson, let me tell you something about film history.
Yeah, please do.
They used to cut together pieces of film. It's called really? Splice.
Mm-hmm.
It would splicing. Splice together pieces of film.
Splicing, you say. Mm-hmm.
There was a huge 6 foot wide shower head, 6 foot in diameter. It was constructed to get the iconic shot where you're looking up at the shower.
I'm sorry, I don't buy 7 days. I don't buy it.
Maybe they included the part where it was being built.
Maybe the Teamsters were being fucks.
Maybe.
And they were saying, hey, you know what? We're done working
after
4 hours.
They don't allow to work 8 hours, yeah.
Got to start again tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, chef's over. The blood was chocolate syrup. And the music.
Which works in black and white.
Aside from the famous music that accompanies the actual stabbing, the famous music.
I thought it was ba-na-ba-ba-ba.
No, it's not like that at all.
Oh, it's different.
There's no score. Hitchcock initially conceived it as a silent scene. And Janet Leigh was... so effective, supposedly, by seeing the actual scene on screen, legend has it she only took baths after that.
Mm, I don't buy that either.
Now, here's
this is all bullshit.
Upon learning this, here's the only problem I had with the scene. The final pullback and the iconic pullback from her face.
Doom,
there's doom, no music. There's no music.
Yeah, that's the final, what the pullback is. Doom, 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 doom. It sounds just like that.
Okay. The final pullback shot, it's a freeze frame. Because Hitchcock, when he looked at it in actual real time, he noticed Janet Leigh's pulse still pulsing on her neck. He said, can't have it. She's dead.
Right.
Which I thought actually would have been more effective
that is,
if you saw the pulse, like the last little bit of life leaving her body.
One of my pet peeves in movies is when you see someone dead and their eyes
but they're
moving.
Breathing.
I hate that. It happens a lot.
But this isn't a dead body. This is someone who was just murdered. So it could have gotten away with a little twitching.
Mm-hmm.
Great scene.
Number two for me. It's hard for me to say this. Because I love this movie. I love the scene. I love these characters so much. But it's number two on the list. 1993.
Mm.
Little man named Tony Scott.
Yes.
Directed a little Tarantino written movie. Called True Romance. Oh, man.
Do you feel bad this scene does not take place entirely in a bathroom? Sort of spills.
The end scene, the actual...
The climactic moment.
It's a small little motel room. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a third of the room
is... It's all partly bathroom.
But yeah, like one of the turning points is in the bathroom, a large chunk of it. And this is one of the reasons why it didn't make number one. It was number one yesterday for me.
I'm dying that it overtook it.
She's so cute. She's so lovable. And Gandolfini's character, talking about Patricia Arquette and James Gandolfini. Gandolfini's character, he's a
skinny guy.
He's not skinny, but he's skinnier.
Skinnier.
Everyone's seen True Romance. I'm assuming most all of our audience has seen it. If you're not, why? I am so jealous of you. I would love to go see it for the first time.
Do you think a larger percentage of our audience has seen True Romance or seen Psycho?
True Romance.
Probably True Romance.
Yeah. Good point.
Idiots.
Gandolfini actually cares for her as much as he can care for anybody because he's a sociopath. But you can see that actually it's touching. Like, he actually cares about this girl.
He does?
As he's killing her. Yeah. Watch the scene, man. Like, he really...
Does he light a cigarette at one point and like start to like waxing to her, waxing poetic or something?
Yeah. That's kind of one of the points where you realize he cares about her because he's confiding in her. He's almost using her as like a confidant, like a therapist. It's so creepy though because he's such a horrible, horrible person. Ugh. And he's just destroying this poor, lovable, beautiful girl who
he's
fights beat,
he's
back.
He's been to hell.
But it's intercut
was
with
some of your top five fight scenes.
Yeah, probably in Badass Bitches. It comes up too much, but it's intercut with Clarence running like asinine errands. You know, like, I'm gonna have a good time.
Did he like a crazy pair of glasses or something? Whatever.
He was buying something like at a convenience store. It felt a lot like what Billy was doing in Buffalo 66, where he like realizes he can be in love and he goes and he's buying donuts and like cookies in the shape of hearts. Anyways, I'm talking about True Romance here. The reason why it slipped off from number two to number from number one to number two is the shampoo and the hairspray was a bit much. I didn't really buy it. Feel like maybe I don't know if Tony Scott was staying true to the script or if it was just a poorly I don't really buy it. I've hairsprayed with flame,
right?
I don't know if you have. It doesn't have that effect.
It's not a fireball.
And Gandolfini is like in charge, and then she takes a little bit of shampoo, puts it on his face, and then it's like I didn't buy it. So there's some execution issues that I have, but her heart,
it's fantastical.
It's hard to watch. It's brutal, but the fact that she prevails makes it like the anti-irreversible scene for me, and I love Alabama, and I love the fact that she kicked ass. Love her so much. Fuck the Alabama.
Didn't he throw her in the shower or something?
Dude, threw her
through the glass.
Through the glass. Yeah. It's so brutal. It's pretty brutal. But she prevails. Oh, so good. And he's like going, hey, you want to give it a shot? Yeah, come on. I'm your daddy. It's so creepy. It's such a great scene. I love it. I love it so much. All right.
Here we go. Number one for me. A bit of scat, I'm afraid, but I know. But, really? However, I don't know. I doubt this is on your list, but how much consideration did you give to the worst toilet in Scotland?
I don't like that movie. I don't like
Trainspotting?
I don't care for the characters.
Oh, no.
I don't care for the characters, Brent.
Trainspotting.
Are there fun characters there?
I love Spud. Absolutely.
Really?
Spud's the best.
Really?
Yeah. Even Begbie's kind of charming in his most psychopathic way. Tommy's not so much.
This is what Danny Boyle came
Sick
on the scene
Boy,
with.
Not so much.
That's what he's doing next, too.
That's right. It's a sequel,
two.
Supposedly, right? Danny Boyle, director.
Care.
Hugh McGregor in the scene. He gets a, based on the novel by Irvine Welsh, who plays Mikey Forrester, the drug dealer who gives Mark Redden his opium suppositories, and they compel him to use the worst toilet in Scotland.
It feels inauthentic. I feel like Danny Boyle's a nerd who really never really like lived life. Like, he never actually experienced anything. He's just like,
he was never
really funny.
Addicts.
It's like, if someone's on drugs and they see a baby crawling on the ceiling, that would be creepy. Like, I don't think he actually experienced anything.
I feel like it's in the book. Yeah, Irvine Welsh.
Probably a very good point. Yeah, a very good point. Then I'm going to back off and just stay quiet.
So speaking of which, Mark Renton, Hugh McGregor's character, he takes the suppositories, these opium suppositories, because he needs a hit of heroin, but he can't get any. Mm-hmm. Puts them up his butt. And he all of a sudden must go to the bathroom. Runs into basically an off-track betting facility, heads to the bathroom, and it is the worst toilet in Scotland. Okay. He sits, speaking of chocolate sauce, chocolate sauce everywhere. Of course, you don't know that. You think it's
a problem that we have with this topic.
And he sits on the toilet, relieves himself, feels much better, then realizes, oh shit, no pun intended, the suppositories are gone.
I love the drugs. I need to get them.
He reaches in, fishes around, can't cut them. Dives into the toilet first, and then cuts to him swimming around in what's kind of an ocean looking for his suppositories.
Because it's
and
crazy hip drug,
that's the point
drug
where
film.
But that's the point where you realize that the movie is it's playing with you a little bit, and it's got these sort of fantastical elements where I always took this to be a metaphor for how much a heroin addicts debase themselves or a drug addicts debase themselves.
No, it's not about debasing. It's about desperation.
Yeah, the
far
the lengths
you go.
You'll go to. I think we're saying the same thing. The lengths you'll go through to get your fix.
Danny Boyle obsessed with swimming in toilets.
Yeah, that's right. Just like Slumdog. Jumping in the toilet.
Number one. Danny Boyle made a little movie called Slumdog Millionaire. No, kidding. Number one for me. 1987. For my money, this is the best constructed scene with the possibility of there's something about Mary maybe being on par, but they're a little different, but
you already
similar.
Said Full Metal Jacket, right?
Full Metal Jacket, beautiful, fantastic, but for my money.
Really?
Yeah, number one. And this is embarrassing to admit, but it's true. That's how I feel. Starring Richard Tyson and Casey Simasco. Anyways, talking about Buddy Revelle. Meeting Jerry Mitchell for the first time ever. And don't give me that. Don't give me disappointment.
This is a letdown.
Oh, fuck yourself. Oh, it hurts. Is so well constructed. It's so well done. And it's such a beautiful, hilarious, awesome scene. He uses everything, Brian. He uses Buddy Revelle. He just didn't want to be hassled. And when Jerry Mitchell says it's a stupid little piece, he reacts to that. Brian, turn your little thing off. It's not working.
That's nice.
What's that?
Whatever.
That's Drew saying that.
I'm trying to say it on a radio show.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's my clip.
Wow. That sounds awesome.
Keep going.
it's so well constructed. Like, they cut away to Brian, I will unplug your mic. I'm gonna do it. So there's a kid in the stall, which is like a you can tell that they spent a lot of time that the director Phil Jutt made you. Phil Jono.
You signed it to me.
I five-starred this shit. This is a great little movie. If you have not
three
seen...
O'clock high.
3 o'clock
high.
3 o'clock high. 3 o'clock high. 3 o'clock high. If you've not seen this, check it out. There's a kid in the stall. You never see him. You just see his feet until the very end. You see his feet like react to what's going on in the... You've seen 3 o'clock high. Yes, Logs?
It was one of the first recommendations I got from you when starting to produce the show.
See, it gets a lot of airtime here. Did you enjoy the 3 o'clock?
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Don't say you like
this,
it.
Good classic, kid, like... Good classic comedy.
Here's a good example of why you should enjoy this film. Brian, it was lost on Brian. So
I liked it. It was a good movie. I was just expecting something that he did not deliver with number one.
This is the worst first encounter imaginable. So well constructed. The use of the slow motion and the spinning of the camera. It's just a really... I love the construct of this scene. And we're gonna hear a little sound from it.
Oh,
right
let's
now.
Do it.
Yeah. This is Buddy Revelle first meeting Jerry Mitchell. Buddy Revelle, the new bully that was just introduced to this new school because he beat up his principal at his last school. And Jerry Mitchell, who's like a little nerdy guy who has to write a piece for the school newspaper on Buddy Revelle, on said Buddy Revelle. And this is their first encounter in the bathroom, and it's awesome.
I want you to understand something, Jerry. I don't like it when people know about me. In fact, I don't like it when anybody knows about me. So you can take that newspaper of yours and wipe off your dick with it. You made me mad, Jerry. Now I'm gonna have to do something to work it off.
Work it off?
You and me, we're gonna have a fight today after school. 3 o'clock in the parking lot. You try and run, I'm gonna track you down. You go to a teacher, it's only gonna get worse. You sneak home, I'm gonna be under your bed. You and me. 3 o'clock.
Right. There it is. Yeah. You know what? I do like this scene more than Full Metal Jacket. Wow. Which is...
That's saying
I something. Know it's sacrilegious to say, but...
More than True Romance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. After watching both of them back to back a few times, yeah. The Full Metal Jacket, it's just misplaced. It should be the end of a movie, not the end of the first act. It kind of ruined, like we talked about earlier, the rest of the movie. It's a great scene, but... And I'm not sure I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm not sure I fully buy the whole Full Metal Jacket.
Oh yeah, it's fantastical. It's played.
It's too over the top.
It is. It's over the top.
I'm not sure it 100% works for me. I love them. I love Gomer Pyle.
Theatrical.
But this one for me.
Wait, this is not too over the top?
But it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be cartoony. Okay. Like I can't help but get a giant shit grin when I'm watching.
Three o'clock eye.
I can't help it. It's just so enjoyable. God damn, I love it. Oh, I love it. And it's not streaming anywhere. You got to pay for it. Sorry. All right, here we go.
Logan, I imagine we got a varied response for the listener top five.
Oh, yeah. Number five, Reservoir Dogs. The scene in the bathroom where he walks in and all the cops are there with the.
Oh,
with
the yeah, yeah. Dog. They're telling the story about mm-hmm. the guy. Yeah.
Bad times. Yeah. I relate to that. I walked in bathroom door with cops. I'm going to go in there and do a little bump. And then it's like, oh, fuck, there's a cop. How am I going to do the bump? Yeah.
Number four.
It's a classic dilemma.
The Shining.
Yeah.
There's like three separate scenes in The Shining.
I'd say it's the Here's Johnny scene.
That's a bathroom?
Yeah, yeah. She's hiding in the bathroom. She's locked in the bathroom.
In my mind, I was thinking it was the one with the woman, the old woman who
the old woman, the ghost woman with the lesions all over her. Before AIDS, pre AIDS. Actually, I don't know. It's pre AIDS, but 1980, right around it. She's got the AIDS in there. And then there's also the where he's talking with the that's such a beautiful orange and white bathroom. Oh my God, it's so beautiful. Where he's talking to what's his fuck, the bartender
Lloyd.
Yeah, Lloyd. Oh, so great. There's numerous bathroom scenes in the old Shining there.
That's right.
Number three, Psycho.
Never heard of it.
I think in the bathroom he wasn't talking to Lloyd. He was talking to a bathroom attendant or a valet or something.
Lloyd was in there.
Number two, Dumb and Dumber.
What was the last one you skipped?
What is Dumb and Dumber?
Psycho. Number three.
I'm not familiar with that.
Number two is Dumb and Dumber.
All right.
And the number one bathroom scene as voted on by our listeners is from Trainspotting.
Yeah, wow,
come on,
one.
Guys. Come
wow.
on. You disappoint me this week.
Dude, it's a pretty
tough week for me.
I can kind of understand your thing with Trainspotting the movie, but that's a pretty great scene.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got
it
long.
It feels inauthentic. Remember that 5,000 pieces or whatever it was, that bullshit book?
A Million Little Pieces?
Yeah. I read the first 20 pages that my mom...
Did you really?
My mom bought that for me for Christmas. I don't know what that says about my mom and his relationship, but it was about this guy who was recommended by Oprah, and he was a drug addict, and he wrote... I read 20 pages, and I'm like, this is bullshit. This guy didn't do drugs. Mm. These stories are not ringing true for me. I don't buy this guy. Fuck this guy. So I stopped reading. Which I do with most books. It's rare that I continue to read because usually they don't grab me. And then it turns out that he's bullshitting. Yeah. Danny Boyle, kind of, I don't really buy his experience. Okay. I feel like he's just kind of like a hanger-on.
Okay.
I like him.
Doesn't make any sense.
I like him as a man. I just don't think, I don't buy his fucking movies.
You don't think he won Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
What was it? What are you talking
about? Slumdog Millionaire.
It was kind of a joke.
Yeah.
Was it funny?
Sorry, I'll stop talking.
Was it a funny joke? Yeah. I missed it.
A little bit of too much talking for Logan.
Was it a hilarious joke? Should I be laughing?
Also rants.
Put in some canned laughter there, would you? Yeah, also rants. Here we go.
Fight Club, the scene where they threatened to cut the guy's balls off, has a great scene.
Oh, great scene.
Lean on Me, I guess, is okay. Jurassic Park, where...
Oh, so good. Almost on the list.
In the outhouse.
Because it was in the bathroom and then out of the bathroom.
That's right.
Great fucking scene.
Naked Gun, where he wears the microphone into the bathroom.
No,
Dogtooth. I'm surprised Dogtooth
is right there. It's right on my list. I almost had it. It was bolded for a while. Carrie. Great scene, Carrie, when she...
Yes.
She's like, oh my God, I'm bleeding. What's going on? Holy shit. And they're like, hey, dumb bitch.
Big Lebowski, where they...
Big Lebowski. Where's the money, Lebowski? A Scarface chainsaw scene. Holy shit. Horrifying when I was a small child watching this, and it's still horrifying today. Scarface chainsaw scene. And he has to watch his friend be chainsaw headed. Terrible. A Nightmare on Elm Street. Oh my fuck. I almost had...
Scene.
I should have this on the list. I'm embarrassed for not having it.
I don't even love that movie. That's a great scene.
Goodfellas. Karen! What'd you do with the drugs, Karen? Yeah, it's kind of a stretch. Yeah. Along Came Polly. Very scat, but very funny. When he's thinking about using the ferret to wipe his bum, hilarious. That's pretty good.
Fear and Loathing, where he sees himself in the bathroom while he's waiting in the bathroom. It was actually my top five cameos.
American History X. Two, maybe three different. I can't talk about them without giving shit
don't
away.
Talk about them.
But two, maybe three. Oh, there's a prison rape scene as well as like the climactic. Holy shit! What the fuck did I just watch? That's awful scene. American History.
It's a
X.
Shit pushed in.
Wild at Heart. Do you want to fuck Lula's mama? That great scene. Great scene.
There's a great scene in Fargo where they invade the house the first time looking for the wife.
That's all I got.
She's hiding in the shower. Rules of Attraction was my top five death scenes, but there's a great... Oh, the suicide scene?
I hate Rules of Attraction.
The Godfather, where he hides the gun. Saw, many, many great scenes in Saw. I think the final scene is kind a great of bathroom scene. Yeah. Fatal Attraction, of course. 50-50 is a very touching, heartwarming scene when it takes place in the bathroom.
Stop it
in
with
a book.
Your 50-50 love.
True Romance, as mentioned. True Lies has a pretty great shootout scene.
It is great.
Scene.
It is great. You're right.
The Raid 2 has a prison fight in the bathroom. It's pretty intense. The Rock, the shootout scene in The Rock.
You're just kind of listing movies you've seen.
The President have Gummo.
Gummo, yeah. Because it's overplayed. Not like my top two aren't overplayed, disgusting. But Gummo is filthy.
All right, let's gamble. Oh, fuck.
I want to eat the Snickers that's floating.
I feel like I was way
above
off.
My wiener.
Last week, you guys gambled on Everest.
Oh, damn.
At the time, the Rotten Tomatoes score was 76%. Oh. Anderson bid 75. And Brian, 30.
Mm.
Now,
did it drop by 46 points?
It did drop. Currently, the week after its release, Everest Rotten Tomatoes score is 73%.
Well, you're off by
Christmas.
Two?
Christmas is coming.
Jesus.
But before Christmas, it's Halloween.
Yes.
It's time to watch a little Spook Fest.
Spook Fest.
Yeah, you get to start with Poltergeist.
I saw Poltergeist. I felt festive. I have not seen the Twilight Zone. That came up last week. You were about to sign it to me. But yeah. I saw Poltergeist like a month ago. I looked festive.
You know what you see?
I mean, I haven't seen it yet.
Solo. 100
Solo.
Days.
Oh, dear. Do you have
Enjoy.
It? Do you have it?
Enjoy.
Can I stream it?
That's for not coming to my movie. That's for not coming to Cold Cockle Night.
I feel bad enough, buddy.
Enjoy 120 days, Solo.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can I stream it?
Might be the hardest movie you'll ever watch.
Oh, lucky me.
Mm-hmm. Not yet, buddy. Not yet.
I have seen everything you've assigned.
I'm not
going
to do that to you yet. I'm not going to do it to you yet.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. It's coming, though. Just be prepared. All
thank
right?
goodness.
Get ready. Because it's coming.
Solo. Not here. Oh, Antichrist is, though. All right, what do I have to
you've
say?
Seen Antichrist.
Look, when I type in Solo, Netflix suggests Irreversible, Antichrist, and Human Centipede, all of which you've assigned me. Oh, you're horrible.
What?
You're a horrible person.
How dare you.
All right, what are you assigning me?
All right, you know what? Speaking of Danny Boyle.
Yes.
William Friedkin, I'm not saying he's a drug addict, but I think he's more authentic than like a Danny Boyle.
Okay.
He made a movie called Bug.
Bug.
Written by Tracy Letts.
Is that with Michael Shannon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's difficult.
Ashley it's in
Judd.
My queue.
Oh, well, bump it up because we're going to be talking a little Bug
where's,
next week. A little Bug.
Where's Bug?
You follow Bug up with Killer Joe and then a little August County.
Bug goes right August. To the top.
Yeah. Bang. Right. Enjoy. I mean... It's intense, but it's more realistic drug, a take on, you know, drug addiction and meth and living your life poorly than, I'm just, Trainspotting just didn't, and I know right. that I'm in the minority. I get that. This is as well as Juno. People think that Juno's great.
They're very different movies.
Well, I'm just talking about like movies that people love, like in a Lost in Translation. I realize that every now and again, I'm way off the mark.
You're not simpatico with the public.
Trainspotting's one of those, right. But this is a realistic depiction. Of meth.
I will see Bug.
The poor guy. Oh, and the tin foil and the teeth.
102 minutes.
It's not bad. William Friedkin. Director of Exorcist. You've seen The Exorcist.
I have.
Yes. Please tell me yes. Please tell me yes.
That's
you've never seen The Exorcist? What?
I have.
Oh! Tell me. Talk to me.
I cannot.
What?
You know what?
Have you seen The Exorcist?
I'll simply say no. Was that you?
You're watching The Exorcist. What the fuck? Really?
Sorry, buddy.
All right.
That's streaming.
Exorcist and then Bug. Is the streaming? There you go. What? Are you fucking with me right now?
No, I saw a lot of it when I was a little kid, but I don't remember it because I was scared. I never really got back to watching it.
Mm-hmm.
It's on my instant queue, actually.
I dated a girl for a while. She thought it was hilarious. We broke up. I'm like, you think that's funny? How's this for you? We're not going out anymore. How about that? I'm terrified of you that you think it's funny.
The Exorcist right there in my queue. Right there in my queue.
All right. Then you're going to watch Bug.
My list. The Omen I got to watch too.
Nah. Not nearly as much as The Exorcist, really?
I'm familiar with the broad strokes.
What are we gambling?
Familiar right. with the broad strokes. Mother sucks talking hell.
This week you're gambling on The Intern. Another movie about an old guy interning somewhere.
All right, I got my pick.
You wrote down zero. Hold on.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it.
What's your number?
61.
I said 28.
Oof. Can't be that bad.
There could be another one in a row where it's better than I anticipate.
All right, well, currently, the week before its release, with 19 reviews, the Rotten Tomatoes score for The Intern is 58%.
All right, so put Bug towards the top as well. Let's get Bug.
Because that may happen next week.
Yeah.
It'll be a Friedkin marathon.
Mm-hmm. You've seen Killer Joe, yes?
Yeah, you assigned it to me.
Have a chicken leg drumstick on me.
Oh, you're the worst.
Oh, that's so horrible. I'm sorry. Hey, I'm sorry. All right? It's not my fault that you missed fucking iconic films growing up. It's not my fault.
I know. I feel like I've sort of seen it. I was scared when I was
Busy watching Just Friends to have seen
I watched it again yesterday.
Just Friends? Did you really? Okay. He's joking, guys. He was kidding.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We appreciate it and putting up with our nonsense one more week. Brent D is the fan art this week. Logan, let me take a look at the fan art by Brent D. If you want to have your fan art seen by, well, billions of people, or... oh, no. What?
Yes!
What's my head doing?
I need that blowing up on my wall, and I'm just going to like put a little black tape on Brian's face.
Why?
That's beautiful. Who's that in the background? Is that Katie? Who is that?
I don't think that was...
Who's that person?
I don't think that was doctored. I think that's on the poster.
Mm-hmm. Who am I supposed to be?
It's so great.
Well, if you want to see what we're laughing at, go to AndersonandBrian.com. Brent D, thank you. Want to send your art in? Send it to AndersonandBrian.com. There's an email address there. You go there for information on future artists, such as the Hard Pipe Hitters.
Yep.
The Winter Sounds. See You Home, Wolf. Youth Culture. FM Pilots. And The Wind.
Hey, guys. Great movies coming out over the next few weeks here.
You
so,
Flick
Fashion is going
to. You can't
say
that definitively.
No, it's for sure. Absolutely. So, I'll be talking about Sicario next week, as well as some other films that are coming out other than The Intern, which
Let's
I might ban. I don't know
it.
If. Brian, stop talking. I don't know if I'm going to see the band.
Well, this week's a little slow. It's Hotel Transylvania 2.
Uh-huh.
Let's see what's coming up, though. Pawn Sacrifice coming up.
Still waiting for great movies.
Facebook.com/filmvault,
Twitter @thefilmvault. A cold call on light is Saturday, September 26th. Don't wait until at this point you've already had wait until the last minute.
Yeah, so get your
support Anderson, support the arts.
Oh no, it's gonna be enjoyable.
Cinema.
Guys, I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't think that these
suck
things
it up,
were fun.
Suck it up,
Brian,
bite the bullet.
So
bite the bullet
to deal with. God, you're painful.
Suffer through it for Anderson. Hey, all joking aside, I'm proud of you, buddy. I hope you have a great night.
And we know what we do.
What do we do?
We do it for Van Gogh!